touch the Lord as He goes by.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads this morning together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your house not to see anything from man, but Lord, we came here to see you manifest yourself, to show that you're still alive today as you've always been. I just pray, Lord, for the needs of the people this morning. I don't know what they are, but I know that you do. Lord, we know that you're passing by this morning. Father, for this is your house, and that's why we set this up, Lord, that you might come and speak to us. Father, we pray you forgive us of all of our sins. Take away anything that's contrary to your word right out of our lives. Lord, even by the preaching of the word, I pray take all the sin out of the church. Take it out of my heart, Lord, if there's anything that keeps us between you. Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. We just invite your presence in this service now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's get right into the word this morning. If you got your Bibles. If you don't, you're going to have to listen real close. Romans chapter 7. Again, I might be starting my first series today. So, are you ready? I got way too much for one sermon. I'm going to tell you that right now. So we might be having a series out of this one. Amen. You got your Bibles? Romans 7. What this starts out, it sounds like marriage and divorce, and I do want to get in that a little bit, not really too much, but really the spiritual aspect of this. So let's read this together. Romans 7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound to the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now here's what we want to focus on, the next three verses. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law.
Amen.
By the body of Christ,
amen,
that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we are in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Title this morning, it's a little bit long, so I'll probably shorten it later on, but a perfect atonement by a perfect husband produces a perfect wife. A perfect atonement by a perfect husband produces a perfect wife. And for today, I guess my first part will be there's only one husband.
That's right.
Only one husband. Let's bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, we've read your word this morning, Lord, and we just feel your presence here, Lord. Would you come and anoint it so we can receive from it this morning? Open our ears so we might hear your words. Use my lips, I pray, that it wouldn't be my thoughts, but it'd just be your thoughts through the word. Commit this service into your hands, Lord. Do whatever you have, please. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Perfect atonement by a perfect husband makes a perfect wife. But for this morning, I want to focus on that last part. There's only one husband. You're only allowed to have one husband legally according to the word of God. That's what we started out on in verse 3. I'll read that again. It says, so then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. So a woman or a man, I believe it goes both ways, that would have two wives or two husbands, you're an adulteress in some way, because you're either faithful to the one or to the other. You got to make a choice, okay? I remember one time I was talking to students, and they said that one of them told me that they were bisexual. And I said, how can you be faithful and bisexual at the same time? Well, are you with the guy? Is that what you think? Or with the woman? Which one is it? It just don't make any sense to me. But that's why, because this world's going insane. We already know that. She shall be called an adulteress. Now, I don't want to talk about the natural. That's its own sermon. What I want to focus on is the spiritual. Paul says that we must become dead to the law. So I want to look this up real quick. We want to be dead to the law and alive unto Christ. I'm going to turn to John chapter 1. You say, who is Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? A lot of people claim to be Christians. A lot of people say they know Christ or have heard about him. I'm sure we've all heard his name at some point. But if he's really rose from the dead, that means he's here right now. And you have to believe that this morning or you'll get nothing from this. You have to know that he's here, that he's still alive in the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1. Watch my son, he's about to get it even if I'm at the pulpit, that's all right. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, which I believe right here we have the Word in print form. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
That kind of takes all the definition right out of there. What's the Word? The Word is God. Equal sign. Word equals God. Okay? Verse 2, and the same was the beginning with God. Go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So right there, you know who Jesus Christ is. God was up here in spirit form. You couldn't see Him, you couldn't touch Him, you couldn't handle Him. Then that Word that He was became flesh, which became a man just like Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ, not just like Him, it was Him. Walking on earth, a man that you could touch, you could handle. The Bible says we handled the Word of life. Because Jesus was really on here on earth.
Yes,
down in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's our perfect husband, the man that came, Christ. That is what we're to be joined to. Now, that was pretty good 2,000 years ago. So you say, brother, what's that got to do with today? I know Jesus was. How do you know He is? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John's filled with a lot of stuff about love and good things and, you know, being brothers and loving one another. But I want to point this out real quick. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let me jump back. Verse 2. You know what? Let's go to verse 1. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Not that He did come, okay? Every Christian church, so-called, believes that He did come.
Right.
But how many believe that He is come? And it says right here in verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So you don't have to debate if somebody tells you that Jesus Christ is not here the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know that's not of God. The same God in me can't be a different Jesus than the one that walked on earth.
Right.
He's got to be the same.
Right.
And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Right there's the Antichrist. We're not looking for Obama to raise up and really get the guns and take away all our mortgages and hand us a bunch of whatever. No, that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from those that say Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh.
Amen.
That He's not come in your flesh.
That's right.
He's not still alive. You can't be filled with His Spirit in this day. The Spirit's left us. No, sir. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Amen.
The Bible says it's not even just that. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
Right there. That tells you that God has left His people. No, sir. Wherever you've heard it should come, and even now already it is in the world.
Yes, Lord.
So we know that Christ is still here. Amen. Not just what He was 2,000 years ago, but His Spirit is still here. The same Spirit that came down the River Jordan and filled Him and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, did the same when you were baptized in His name and received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the same experience.
Amen.
Now the only difference is you needed a conversion. His first birth was just fine. He came in the Word.
Amen.
It was spoken Word. God said, I shall have a Son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
And that's exactly what happened. You come a different way. We come by the way of sex, which was in the original fall. That's why we're all tied into sin, because we came in a sinful condition.
Right.
Now I understand the marriage bed is undefiled, but that was a permissive thing of God. That should not have even been that way. The spoken Word was the original way things got created.
Sure.
Not this carnal, natural thing that we had to do now. So every spirit that confesses that He is not the Word, you might as well dismiss that right now. Now we're talking about that perfect husband, but we need to have a marriage with this husband.
Right.
And you're not allowed to have two husbands at the same time. You're only allowed to have one. So I want to talk about these husbands that like to get in there, and you like to say you're married to them. You won't say it with your mouth or your confession, but your life proves who you're married to. Might be a little confusing. Let's get into this. Invisible union, paragraph 71, it says, now she is a woman. If she is married to Christ the Word, she cannot be married to a church denomination at the same time, for she's bound by it. She cannot live with both husbands at the same time. They're contrary one to the other. One is God sent, the other one is man-made. So they're contrary. See, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. God said that. Now listen to this. I want to talk about this first husband, which is what Paul hits up. Just as much contrary to one another as law was to grace.
Amen.
Law and grace are completely contrary one to another.
Exactly.
Law says you must do this, you must do this, you must do this, or you will die. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm gonna have to judge you. That was the law. And all the law does is put you in prison.
Right.
All it is a good prison keeper.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in the cage. Israel said, give us a law that we might know what we should do. He said, okay, here you go. Go ahead and try it, buddy. How many ain't stolen here before? Anybody not lied before? Look what happened. You're in prison. Way to go. Thanks for the law, Lord. No, God didn't want to give the law. Man asked for the law. He said, I want a part of my salvation. Salvation has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
He's done it all.
Amen.
He said on the cross, it is finished. What were you doing when he did that? I won't even hear yet.
Glory.
I believe one part of me was in him, but I'm talking about the flesh man, the when I was born. All right? He did it all. So just as much contrary as law was to grace, as Paul's being here. One must be dead to have the other. And if she tries to mix them, she shall be called an adulteress. So when you try to take your law and your grace and put it together, you're an adulteress now. You've got two husbands.
Right.
Because the church is a woman, so you got to marry someone. All right? You can't just, if you're going to be single, guess what? You're going right down too. You're done. Because anybody going to get to heaven on your own merits?
Nope.
Anybody going to stand right there in front of God's supreme white light and say, I am worthy to walk up into your presence, Lord? Not this guy. No, sir. I know better than that. I know what I did yesterday. I wouldn't walk up there. I wouldn't know some of the things I said this morning. I wouldn't walk up there.
Amen.
I already apologized to my wife for getting on her about something. I shouldn't have done that. I've already done that. I wouldn't walk up that light. No, sir. Not on my own merits. I need a husband that's going to do something for me. Because a man that don't live for his wife ain't worthy to be a husband.
Amen.
Adam was willing to sacrifice everything for Eve.
Amen.
And even though he used sin, he still did it. He was ruler of the whole world. He was a God on earth.
Right.
Whatever he said happened. And he forfeited that because he didn't want to watch his wife die.
That's right.
How much more Christ, when he knew his wife was dead and was going to all die and burn in hell, he said, no, sir, I'm coming after her.
Amen.
I'm going to take on flesh myself and come die. Because you can't die for your sins. It's no good. Because when you die for your sins, you have to go to hell.
That's right.
And guess what? Jesus did it too because he became your sin.
Amen.
He literally became our sin.
Right.
And died. Paid the price. He did go to hell. But guess what? He was able to step back up out of there. Show me Buddha. Where's he at? Did he step out of his grave? I think he's still there. Muhammad, they got horses riding back and forth waiting for him to come back. Go find Jesus' body for me. It ain't there no more. Because he rose.
Amen.
And he's alive tonight.
Amen.
Tonight. This morning. I got it backwards again. Praise God. We've got to divorce the law. Which means you can't put your own, even if it's out of God's word, Satan will use that. He will twist it to say, look, you've got to do this to be saved.
Right.
You've got it. And he'll add something outside of the grace of God.
Amen.
You must believe. That's the requirement.
Right.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And I think my salvation is a part of all things.
Amen.
What does all mean? Brother Kent, what's all mean?
Everything.
No exceptions. A-double-L. Oh. Romans 8:1. Let me turn there real quick. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now look, there was a condition there. Where you got to be? In Christ. How do you get in Christ? By the new birth. That's it. By believing in Jesus Christ. And he comes into me. Repent of my sins. Get baptized in his name. And he'll fill you with the Spirit every time. Yes, he will. You've got to believe it though. It says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
We're free.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The law don't even pertain to you anymore. You know why? Because you'll automatically do it.
Amen.
Look, I don't have, nobody's got to force me to give my wife stuff, to feed her clothes, because I love her. I'm going to do what she needs. And she'll do what I say because she loves me.
Amen.
Most of the time. We still got the flesh. But if you really fall in love, whatever that person's desire is, that becomes your desire.
Amen.
Because just like the Bible says, a man, or how's that go? Dad? Whatever she wants is what I should be wanting, right? If she wants it bad enough, I should want it just because she wants it.
Right.
And Christ is the same way with his bride.
Amen.
Now, if you love God, you should want the things of God. You should want what I know pleases Him. When He tells me right here in the Word what I should be doing, I want to do that. If you're born again. Now, if you're not, you're going to try to go through the ritual. You're trying to go through the law. Guess what you're going to do every time? You're going to fail.
Amen.
Because you can't be a Christian in your own strength.
Amen.
Actually, none of us can be Christians. We need to get Christ on the inside, and he'll be the Christian right out of me. For the law of the Spirit of Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Oh, I don't know if you're catching that. The law couldn't do it because you couldn't do it in your flesh. You're in this body. This body has desires contrary to the law of God.
It's true.
You'll never obey the law in the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Sin has already been judged, if you'll accept it.
Amen.
All the sin in the world was put on one man, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he went to the cross and died for every bit of it. Every bit of the world. That's why I believe when babies, if a baby would die, go to heaven. Because it's sin, even though it can't know what it did, it's not accountable for none of that. The blood already atoned for that.
Sure.
The problem is when you get too smart and you think you can save yourself. That's when you reject the blood of Jesus Christ and go walk on your own. And that's when you're done for. You're living in a law. You're married to a different husband.
Amen.
It's not lawful.
Amen.
You'll be called an adulteress. And what adultery is going to be in the kingdom of God? None. You must be changed.
All right.
I ain't talking about in the flesh. I ain't talking about some foolishness you did years ago either. I'm talking about spiritual adultery. Where you take something over the Word as your absolute instead of the Word. You must be married to the Word, which is Christ. They're one. Galatians 1. I'll just read real quick. Galatians 3, verse 1. Paul speaking to the Galatian church. They had a little trouble with this whole no law thing anymore. All under grace. They didn't quite understand what this meant. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now let me start right there. We don't really use the word foolish anymore. So let me say it like this. You morons. That's what he meant. You look in the Bible time, the word fool, that's like saying, you are an idiot. You are an imbecile. Okay, this is how strong Paul's making a point here. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?
Wow.
Witchery. And we know what the Jews knew about. If you find a witch, you're supposed to burn her. Who's bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Sure.
How do you get the Holy Spirit? Is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I think it was a rhetorical question. That's why I said this is easy. This is baby stuff. What's your problem? Why aren't you understanding this? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What does that mean? It means after I've received the Holy Ghost, what usually happens? We'll take a while getting that joy, that peace, saying, my sins are forgiven. God knew everything I was going to do, and he washed it all away. I'm just free, right, Brother Kent? I don't worry about them things of the world. I'm just walking happy-go-lucky. Woo! I'm saved. And then what happens after a while, you go, ooh, I still make mistakes. Didn't know that was in the package. I thought I was going to walk perfect the rest of the time. No, you realize, hey, I made another mistake. Wait a minute. God saved me here. Now, he knows eternity now, right? He knows beginning and end. Is he going to save me here, knowing that a year down the road he's going to lose me? Why would he waste his time? Right? He wants to make good investments. I think God's a good businessman. Every investment he makes comes back. He said, my word will not return void. It'll accomplish what I sent it out to do. And if you're the elect, you're coming through. It don't matter what you try to do about it. You go ahead and try to resist the call of God. You're going to drive yourself insane. I did it for 2 years. I don't know what I was thinking. It was the worst 2 years of my life. Running away from God. Trying to think I could do my own thing. Living in my own religion. Oh, we got to get there, brother. First husband is that law. God said this. I must do it. I've got to do this. And what are you going to do? You're going to fail every time. Even after you get the Spirit, if you don't depend on the Spirit to live through you, and you think you can come up with your own little rule book of codes that you're going to do, and that makes you a Christian, you're going to fail it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you might bring your... Yeah, you can start with a pretty big list. What happens? Nope, got to cut that one out. I fail there. What you say? I just got to do this. And what happens? God will still humble you and come down and you won't fulfill one of them. You go, oh, I'm just a wretch. Yeah, you are! That's why you need it born again!
Right.
Amen.
Put your faith in what God has done. Divorce that old law. You've got to divorce it. We were brought under the law because of how we were born here. We didn't have a choice. You were born in sin. Did anybody choose to get born? Everybody say, I don't want to be born. Come on, mommy, daddy. No. Heavenly Father orchestrates who's born and who's not.
Sure.
They can try. They can try to come out with this and that. God wants a baby born. Here it comes. Okay, it's going to be there. So that first old husband we got to dismiss is that law. You don't serve God by law. You serve God by love. You must love Him or you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. The next one I want is just that, that old world. Matthew 6:24. It's also Luke 16:13. It's the same verse. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what's mammon? Mammon's the world, the love of money. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. You've got to make a choice.
Sure.
Who's the love of my life? Amen. Is it the things that the world brings out that doesn't lead me anywhere closer to God? It leads me farther away into, just look what's on all the filth anymore. On TV and the movies, it don't matter where you go, it's everywhere. On the newsstands, it's all about sex. It's about drugs, it's about violence. It's about things God hates, that God doesn't desire, that won't be in the new heavens and new earth. Those things will be done away with. But if you're feeding on that, you're married to a different husband. It's time for divorcement. You got to let that old world go. Say, brother, I can't do that in my own strength. That's what I'm trying to get to you this morning. You must be born again. You must receive the Holy Ghost. You must have the perfect husband who does all that you have need of.
Right. Amen.
He takes care of all of it if you'll give it to Him. How do I give it to Him? By faith. Lord, You said this in the Word. Whosoever shall believe in Him shall be saved. Now, I don't feel like I'm saved right now. So I'm going to believe in You. And you keep confessing. You keep believing it until it comes to pass. Until something changes in your life.
Sure.
If nothing ever changed, you're not born again.
Right.
You can't walk a sinner and say, oh yeah, then all of a sudden I got converted and you live the same way you did before. That's nonsense. Does anybody think a sheep and a pig live the same way? No, that pig didn't go out there in the mud. I don't care. You put a suit on it. You put a little bow on its head. You let it go do what it wants to do, it's going to go right back to the mud pit. You won't find a sheep nowhere near that stuff. It'll stay right there with the shepherd. So, old man is born again. Invisible union. Paragraph 35. Paul here is giving an illustration. He read the same scripture that I opened up with. Paul here is giving an illustration in our scripture about law and grace, illustrating it like marriage and divorce. This passage is very seldom preached on because it more or less pertains to marriage and divorce. But it also pertains to a greater portion of marriage and divorce, of how that he's trying to set an order here that we as the church can no more be married to the world and to Christ at the same time and be legal and lawful about it than it can be for a woman living with a husband and she's got a living husband. Yeah, that's what he said. You can't be married to God and the world at the same time. Romans 8. Are you enjoying this morning?
Uh-huh.
You can say amen now. You know, you can nod at me too. I appreciate that, but it's good to confess things once in a while. Do good for your soul. It does for me when I just let it out there. Lord, I agree. I agree with what that says. I agree with this word when it comes across. I say amen. So be it. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. There you go. There's another equation for you. Carnal mind equals death. You can't think in your own reasonings. If what your thought has is contrary to what the Word has said, you need to dismiss that thing. When the Bible says, he that looks upon a woman in lust has committed adultery, you need to apply that to your life. When that pretty girl starts walking by, you don't turn your head toward her. No, that's the carnal mind says, I can do this. I'm under grace. No, sir. You're supposed to love the Lord with all your heart. He said, that's adultery. Don't do it. And then it just makes it easy to turn away then. If we could always keep Christ before us. As David said, I put that word in my heart that I would not sin against thee. I've hid that word in my heart. That word's always there. The carnal mind is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does everybody want? Life and peace. But they don't want to be spiritually minded. So that's a lot of work. There's a lot of carnal thoughts that show up. Very few of them are spiritual. Very few of them tell you, hey, you need to pray, buddy. How many times do you hear that come through your head? I don't very often. I hear, don't pray, you got to do this and this and this. If you don't get your work done, you're done for. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what the word said. I'm going to be spiritually minded. I'm supposed to pray all times.
Right.
Without ceasing.
Amen.
Without stopping. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So get over it. That carnal mind's always going to be there. Don't be brought under its power. You have an inner man who's stronger than that guy. Remember the man of faith that Brother Bram talks about? He's a man with hair on his chest. He's a man that you don't push around. He owns the place. I believe that man of faith needs to be in you, and that's Christ. Show me where the devil pushed Christ around.
Sure.
When did Christ didn't? Christ only let him in the flesh. He let him beat him up. He said, I could have brought thousands of angels here and killed all of you. But I didn't. Why? Because he was loving the same people that were killing him.
Sure.
You can't love God in the world at the same time. Look at your music. Look at what you entertain yourself with. You're feeding on something. You have to evaluate that. If what's in me is feeding on that, and that's not of God, I must have something here that ain't of God.
Right.
It's time for the Lord. Ask the Lord to circumcise that thing out of your life. Cut that thing out of me, Lord. I love that. I've had to pray that many times. Say, Lord, I love this thing of the world. I love it. I need to stop loving it. I can't stop it myself, Lord. Help me to stop loving that.
Amen.
Take the desire out. Because if you get the desire out, you don't got to worry about it showing up again.
Nope.
Look, I don't like, I don't desire stabbing myself. Think I'm going to go do it? No, because I have no desire to do it. I have no desire to drink alcohol. Don't tempt me, none. I go right through that same aisle. Doesn't mean a thing to me because the desire is gone. How do you want to be a Christian? Get the desire of the world out of you. I can't do it, brother. How many times I got to say that? I know that. But Christ can. He conquered all on the cross.
Yes, he did.
That first husband, that law of husband's got to be cut off. Dead. Not even just divorce. We got to divorce and then shoot the guy. Get out of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to marry Christ and I'm going to be faithful to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second one. That old world, it'll pull you back. You got to fight that. Christian soldiers take arms, as we said Wednesday. You've got to fight the devil every day of your life. One other husband I want to talk about. This is a big one. We must be dead to tradition, denomination, rituals, and even church as a husband. That's where the rubber starts meeting the road a little bit, Brother Kent. A lot of people, they'll come out. I'm talking about Christian people that confess it. They'll recognize the evil of the world. They'll see where those things lead to, and they'll go, we don't need to do that no more. We need to be in church. You know, do-gooders. We're going to go do a bunch of good. Because that's what Jesus did. Yeah, he did do a lot of good. He also told some people, you're your father the devil, and his works you'll do. So there's a time to do things that seem pleasant. There's a time to do things that ain't very popular. What's the judge line? This word. The truth is what matters. If a man's living in sin, you better have the audacity to be able to tell him that. Not trying to kill him because you're trying to save the man.
Right.
Now look, you're heading to hell, buddy. It's time to straighten up.
Sure.
You need to get right with God. Traditions. What are traditions? The Bible says, Jesus' word, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. People add things to the word that limit God so he can't do anything for them.
Right.
So give me some examples, brother. I got to pray with my hands like this. That's the only time God hears me. Or like this. Or it's between 6 and 7. Brother, if I pray at 7:15, God don't hear me no more. Where do you get that nonsense? See, we add these things. Oh, look, Dad only sang 3 songs. God's not allowed to move this service. You see what I'm saying? We do it. We don't do it necessarily in our conscience. We'll do it in our subconscious all the time. I don't feel the presence of the Lord like I'm supposed to. God must not be here. Yeah. Whoa, where did he say? Did you feel him? The Bible said, did you believe him? He said, where 2 or 3 would gather in my name, I will be there.
Right.
I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody else?
Sure.
I don't see no hands, but I got a couple yeses. There's 2, there's 3. Boom, he has to be here.
Amen.
According to the word, he has to be here.
Amen.
Now, he'll show up. It depends what you do with him now. Jesus came to a man's name, house, Zacchaeus, I think. Or one of those. It's a Z name, I know that. He came to his house. They didn't even welcome him, though. He just sat in the corner by himself. It depends what you do with him when he comes. If you want him to be here, you'll welcome him in your house. If I want you at my house and I invite you over, I'm going to take care of it when you get there. Hey, you need a drink? Do you need, you know, remember they went off on the road. They didn't get nice cars like we did. They had to go walk in dirt roads. So they clean them up before they walked in the house. They didn't wash Jesus. Remember that old, that prostitute woman had to come do it for him because he wouldn't do it. Why? Tradition had gotten in the way. Church has gotten in the way. You make church of God, you're an idolater. You've married something outside of Christ.
Right.
Don't marry me now. I'm talking spiritual now. I understand the pastor's supposed to be the husband of the church, but that's only in a type. The real husband is Christ to every believer.
That's right.
You have to be joined to him. Individually. I can't be some mediator. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
He is the perfect God-man come together. That was Christ.
Amen.
And by being in him, we are God men, God women. The same life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Praise God. Thank you.
You see how terrible this is. Visible Union 73. Then her children, if she be an adulteress, her children are illegitimate. Which means not lawful. They're illegitimate. Illegitimate to what? Not to the church, but to the word. When you take an adulterous church that has married something outside of Christ, and all you have to do is take one word out of this and you've married somebody else. That's all the serpent did in the garden. He had one word, the word not. You shall not surely die. God has said you shall surely die. He put one word in there and that caused all of this. Every heartache, every struggle you've ever had was caused by one word added to God's word.
Sure.
Because now Eve, instead of marrying Christ like she was supposed to, married the devil from one word. How are we going to get back with taking whole pages out, bringing out new verses that take 100 scriptures out of it? You can't do that.
Right.
Don't mess with God's word. You'll marry somebody else. What a picture of this. Revelations 3 here on the last day. Laodicea church age. What an illegitimate group. What a denominational mix-up. Lukewarm. Carry on and call themselves Christians and deny the word of God. What does the Bible say about that? 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Amen.
We come to church, we have a good little service, but God don't do nothing. You're an idolater.
That's right.
You married somebody outside of Christ, because wherever Christ was, there was supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
When they got prayed for, they got well.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When I talk about it, I'm going to say it again. There was one time the disciples prayed for a man. Sorry about that. Did I get you done? All right, praise the Lord. There's one time they prayed for a little boy that was epileptic. He didn't get well. Jesus didn't come pat him on the back and say, that was all right, boys. You know, you gave it your all. No, he said, no, sir. He said, how long shall I suffer with you?
Right.
Amen. Jesus is like, what is your problem? You got the creator of the world standing right here. I told you to go do that.
Uh-huh.
Remember he said, before they had the Holy Ghost, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents, go cast out demons, or raise the dead, cure diseases. He said, go. That was his commission before they even got the Holy Ghost. Go do this.
Right. Yeah.
They had his word. What didn't they have? They didn't have faith.
Yeah.
And so he said, why couldn't we cast them out, Lord? Yeah. Your unbelief.
Uh-huh.
You don't believe.
Yeah.
And when churches say that they believe and nothing happens, it's only a proof that they're lying.
Right.
The word discerns all the way down to the heart. It should be able to tell a man exactly where he's at every time. And if your discernment shows a man that's actually in sin, and you call him a Christian, your discernment's off. You're not using the word. The word discerns where a man is. Not in his own strength, by the Spirit of God showing where a man is in the word. A denominational mix-up. Lukewarm. Carry on, call themselves Christians, deny the word of God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Paul says, from such, turn away.
Right.
So he said, don't even mess around with this. Because it's the doctrine of the devil. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Sure is.
You don't think so? Church is where the Antichrist is. He loves coming to church.
Uh-huh.
Spirit of the devil loves coming to every service. He's probably more faithful than most of us.
Uh-huh.
See, brother, you prove that. In the Garden of Eden, there was two boys, Cain and Abel. They brought an offering to God. They built a tabernacle, an altar. They built a church. Cain built a church, so did Abel. They offered things to God. They both sang songs. They both gave God praise. They both quoted his word. One was rejected. One was accepted. What was the difference? Cain brought a bunch of fruit. There was no life in that fruit. That fruit was dead. It didn't have no blood involved in it. That was unacceptable. only proves that they weren't fruit. It wasn't fruit in the Garden of Eden, or the fruit would have paid for it. The debt has to match the payment. If I owe you $100, I got to give you $100. I can't give you $100 worth of cookies. You don't want that. You want the debt. You want the payment to match the debt. So why was it blood that paid for sins? Because it was blood in the Garden of Eden. Cain was religious. And actually, let me just read. Brother Bram says it better than I am. Visible Union 139. Her sons born out of her rely upon education, schooling, some Bible school so-called, some great college that's supposed to be here for a long time, hatching them out. It's sort of an incubator style. Denominational seekers. They want to make a name for themselves. Don't go around telling everybody that you got to call me to get salvation. No, you witness. Christ is the same in every believer.
Yes,
if you've received the Spirit, testify of what He's done. Get other people in. Don't make a denomination out of it. Don't say us four no more and you're out, buddy. Never. Always keep drawing that circle bigger. Brother Bram said one time, Brother Kim and I said, we got to take you out. He said, well, I'm going to draw you right back in. You're not going to take me out as long as I got an arm of love. I'm going to keep reaching for you.
Amen.
Now you go off the cataract and you die spiritually. I don't know what to do. You're already gone now. Can't do nothing for a dead man. He's dead.
Amen.
Go punch him. He ain't going to move. Go kick him some. Go preach in his face. Take his preach to a dead man. Go try to preach to him. Won't do nothing. He's dead. Dead man don't do nothing. But if you've got life, the word should affect you.
Yes, it does.
And it better. Amen. I'm glad I got one positive confession on that. Denominational seekers. Religious Cain-like. Just as illegitimate to the word as Cain was. Right. Just as illegitimate as Cain was. Sure. Denominational seekers. You see what it is? God never did organize a denomination. He's always been against it. His word is against it. Why? Because you put man as the leadership in his own human mind. And yet, denominations are a reasonable thing. We've got this thing. We've got what we believe to be the word of God. And what they do is they always change it. They always got their code of whatever they believe in. It's contrary to the word. They always put it as their first thing in the what's that always called? Mission of faith or something like that. The first one always says, we believe the Bible to be the infallible word of God. And then their next whole list contradicts that whole first statement. Because they're setting up stuff that ain't in the word. Show me where God is eternal in three different persons. We're going to get to heaven, and I'm going to see some old man standing there, and then some young man Jesus, and there's going to be a bird flying around. That's my one God. A God's an object of worship. There's only one object to worship. And if I've got to turn this way to worship the Father, and I've got to turn this way to worship the Son, that's at least two gods. And I'm supposed to worship the Holy Ghost too. No, that's not it. It's all the same God. Say, brother, that don't make sense. Well, look at yourself. You've got a body. You've got a spirit. You've got a soul. In one way, that would be three people. Because what happens when your physical body dies? Your spirit leaves. Right? Your body's laying there. You're up here, though. Huh? Am I two different people now? No, I'm the same person. That's just the body I live in. What do you think the Son of God was? It was God's own body, personally designed to save your soul. Because He had to come in sinful flesh like you were. Doesn't make sense for Him to come in a different line to redeem us. He's got to be part of us.
Amen.
And us of Him.
That's right.
Traditions are so... This is where the devil, if he can get you on anything, it'll be this. The denominational thinking. That we've got this code of ethics. We've got this doctrine that we stand for. And that's Christ. No. Christ is a life.
Amen.
And not just a good life. It's His life.
Uh-huh.
Which means God's own life is now in you. Which means you'll do the same things He did. When you lay your hands on the sick, they recover.
Sure, yeah.
When you pray, God answers.
If He does.
If He does, yeah, it doesn't mean nothing to you. Just whatever, I'll believe whatever I want to. No, sir, you've got to come right to the Word. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes, they do.
They don't follow you, it's time to check up.
Amen.
You might be married to someone else. Visible Union again. So pregnated with Satan's wisdom and knowledge, the church has become. They send their people away to school to learn how to say amen just right. They learn them how to say all this to be very intellectual. What is it? The pregnation of the devil. What did Satan pregnate Eve with? To disbelieve the word for intellectuals. And it ruined the whole creation. When you think you can figure out what God's going to do up here, you're done. If you don't realize that my mind is worthless, I need the mind of Christ to know how to do anything. then you'll start having success with God. That shows that you're married to Christ. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'll wrap up soon. Maybe. You guys, make sure I find out where I'm at. That's exactly what she's done in the word today. The church, she's pregnated herself with Bible schools and colleges and things like that. Don't make this some schooling. Okay? You need to take it and apply it. If all Christianity is a good idea, a good thought, but I don't go home and live it, you're a hypocrite. It needs to be a life in you. She's pregnant herself with Bible school and colleges, things like that, reading, writing, arithmetic, and they know no more about God than a Hottentot would know about Egyptian nights. They know all their creeds, their prayer books, everything else, but know nothing about God. God is a person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a person like we are. We were made in His image, so how is He not like a person? He's not some figment that's off in the sky. He is a being that you speak to, and He speaks back.
Right.
Look, God even came to Cain and talked to him. Why can't He talk to His own bride?
Sure.
You claim to be the bride, God will never talk to you? Something wrong. Maybe you just got your ears so clogged up and your eyes so blind you can't see. He's right there the whole time.
Yes.
Look, when Jesus was here on earth, you had to go find Him to get something. But now, by the Holy Ghost, He's in me. I don't need to go find Him. He's right here. I can talk to Him right here all the time, 24/7. And here's the thing, He wants you to talk to Him. Why do you think we were created? Why do you think God knew Adam was lonely? Because He was lonely. He only had His thoughts that were expressed there, but He wanted to touch it, feel it, experience it. And that's why it had to become flesh.
Amen.
That's why God had to become flesh, so we could touch Him, handle Him. But we don't need to go find Jesus. He's right here. If you're married to Him now, you got another husband. If you got the law as your husband, if you got the world as your husband, or you got some denominational thought as your husband, or a church as your husband, you won't hear from God. You'll hear from that.
Right.
Because that's your husband. Christ won't marry an adulteress. You might try to marry two. He ain't going to marry you, though.
Right.
My wife already had a husband. She'd come up to me and say, hey, you want to marry me? No, sir. No, ma'am. You know, no, you're already married. I'm not splitting time. Look what we do to God. Sometimes we split time on God. I want to do this thing that's of the world. I want to go waste my life, whatever it is. It don't matter what it is. Not even necessarily inherit evil, just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have spent with Christ.
Sure.
You could have spent in prayer talking to Him a little bit.
Amen.
Could have been reading His Word. Because we know He is His Word. If you'll put your faith in, not read it like a newspaper, and actually say, Lord, this is You.
Right.
Speak to me. Make this come off the pages into me.
Uh-huh.
Then I'll know I'm married to Him. We're the ones that need the evidence. He already knows whose is His and who isn't. He knows all things. We're the ones that need to know.
Amen.
I believe I'm part of the bride. Why? Because I had an experience that changed my life.
Amen.
And not just to some whatever. It became His life. What He did, I see in me now. You have to know the same thing. How do I know that I'm dead to these things and alive to Christ? Christ is your only love. That's when you know. And if you don't, Brother Branham says... Let me finish this up. I'm almost done. Visible union again. It says, read Revelation 17. You see, you've got to be dead from that thing. Now, I'm speaking to this local assembly, but I'm speaking all together across the nation. You must be dead to your first husband. If you're united to Christ and still married to a denomination, you're an adulteress. You are Laodicea.
That's it. Amen.
That's Laodicea.
Uh-huh.
We've got it figured out. What does the Bible say about Laodicea? You're poor, wretched, blind, naked, and you don't know it. That's why you don't see people want their life changed. They say, I got it pretty good. Why do I need change? I got my bills paid. I got this. I don't need God, really. You know, I'll take a code of ethics, right? I'll take a church so I feel religious, but I don't really need God. I'll take care of it myself. God, you just stay over there. You're not born again. Something wrong in your experience. You're Laodicea.
Amen.
If I pass from death unto life, I'm supposed to have no more desire of sin. That's what Hebrews 10:12 said. 10:2, the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience, no more desire of sins. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words. Now, heareth in that sense means to understand and receive. You can't just literally hear it in your ear. Sinners have heard the word all their life and it doesn't do anything for them. They didn't really hear it yet.
Right.
He that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath present tense of everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Praise God.
1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Let me finish right here on this. You enjoying this? Amen? You're getting something you're going to take home and change, not by your own power, but like we said, by the Spirit of God, Lord. Let that word come into me. Let it bring me from this glory to another one.
Praise.
Wherever I need to grow, Lord, that's where I want to be. Amen. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That should settle it for you. Who's ever born of God, you don't commit sin. And the Bible says, well, how can that be? I know I messed up yesterday. For his seed remaineth in him. Seed is like a child. Right? Or like a plant. It has a seed that produces the next one. This is talking about God's seed. And if you be born again, God sees that seed that's in you, that's himself. And God's not going to judge himself. He did it one time on the cross.
Amen.
He was worthy. He was worthy to die there for the sins of the world. So if his life, you got to think about, where did my son come from? He was in me. He physically was in my body. And we know that part of me goes into my wife, and that produced a son. Amen. So he is a part of me. In one sense, he is me. Because that's where he came from. Every apple was the apple before it.
Right.
Right? It wasn't something else. It's the same apple. Amen. So if God's seed be in me, and I be born again of the Spirit of God, that's the one thing God sees.
Amen.
Himself.
Sure.
In me. That takes all the pressure off if you really understand that and really know that it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. He already recognized me.
Yes, he did.
He already brought me back into the family. He's already redeemed me.
Amen.
Redeemed means to be brought back where you were before. So that means in one way you had to always be with God.
Sure.
Because we were all in him.
Amen.
Every believer was in God for eternity. You never did start. Never will end. Never, no time involved.
Nope.
See, we try to think that God started sometime. No, he didn't. He always was. Always will be. That's that perfect husband I'm talking about. Visible union, 163. At the end time, both trees are coming to the seed and proving themselves. Here we are, right today. Laodicea and the bride. There you go. There's your two picks. What do you want to be? It ain't God's fault. It's your fault. Whatever you want.
Right.
He'll give you whatever you desire. You pick which one you want to be. Just as clear and pretty as it can be in the scripture. And right before your faces. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be a virtuous, Bible-believing Christian and associate yourself in the denominational affair. You can't do it at the same time. One has got to be dead and let the other one live. So that's what I asked this morning. This is self-evaluation. I don't know your life. I might know a little bit about you. I might know your name. I might know where you live. But I'm not the one that knows your heart. The Spirit of God knows your heart.
Right.
And he does. A lot of people say, well, you know, I know I should repent and do this and that, but God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And he knows you're lying. Because if you really want to repent, you do it. If I want Wendy's, I'm going to drive over there and get it. If I don't got money, I'm going to find money if I'm desperate enough. I'm going to start being a homo, get one of those signs out that says, help me, God bless. And really, I'm just going to walk over to Wendy's because I'm desperate. That's what happens when a man really wants the Spirit of God. Nothing will stop him.
Right.
If you want to be married to a man, ask my wife when she, you know, fell madly in love with me. No other man meant anything to her now. Didn't mean anything. Go ahead, bring it all you want. No, I've got my husband I want. That man. It needs to be that way with Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand together.
Glory to Jesus.
Praise his name. There's only one husband. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know I'm born again, brother? Do you love him? That's what you need to know. Takes care of all the doubt and all the fear. Let's bow our heads. Now this is between you and him. I'm just standing here. I'm not judging anything. But he is the judge and he lives in us. If you feel like maybe you've tainted with those other lovers, let's put it that way, that you've talked to that world and wanted to do its desires. You've met with that lawman and you wanted to marry him or listen to him a little bit, or you have some denominational thing or some ritual or some tradition you're trying to live by, but you want to be married to Christ. You want to divorce all them and die. You go ahead and raise your hands to him saying, Lord, I'm ready to just marry you. I don't want nothing to do with any of those other husbands. Lord, I want to be 100% married to you with all my heart.
Yes, Jesus.
Or just commit to him. If you have a need, lift it up to him now, because he is faithful and just to hear everything that you would have desire of. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift our hearts to you.
Father, we preach your word, Lord. We want to be married to you. We want to be one with you, Father. We don't want nothing between us, Lord. Would you just help us to break all the yokes of bondage that you'd be able to manifest yourself in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. I commit the hearts of the people into your hands. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I'm just a man, but you're the Almighty God, and you're still alive this morning. Father, we just commit our hearts into your hands. Commit the people into your hands, Lord. Bring us where we ought to be, we pray, by the Spirit of the living God. Commit this service. Commit everything that's been said or done. May it bring fruit unto your name. We love and appreciate you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. If you have a need, like always, come on, we'll pray with you. Don't leave out here without a need. Don't leave here with one little doubt, because the Lord will take care of that. Let's turn to 155. Just a little chorus. I just like giving him praise. Amen. I enjoy praising the Lord. It's one of my great hobbies. Why? Because you love him. I mean, if you're in love with him, you love doing the things of God. He's my husband. Of course I like spending time with him. He says he'll inhabit the praise of his people. So that means if you're really going to praise him, he'll be in that praise. He'll inhabit that. Amen. Let's sing this song. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done.
Oh, has he done great things for you? Hallelujah, Lord, you're worthy.
Yeah. He has done.
Yes, you have, Lord, you're worthy, Lord Jesus.
He has done great things.
Oh, give him praise now. He's worthy.
Holy name. For I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy.
Sing with all your hearts now.
And I will bless the Lord.